Hear ye, all persons having any business before this Honorable Supreme Court of the State of Hawaii, draw nigh. Give your attention and you shall be heard.
Please call the case.
Case number SCOT-17-526, Lanaians for Sensible Growth versus Land Use Commission. Arguing for appellant Lanaians for Sensible Growth, Alan T. Murakami. Also arguing for the, also appearing for the appellant Moses Haya. Arguing for the appellee Lanai Resort LLC, Benjamin A. Kudo. Arguing for the appellee Office of Planning, Brian C. Yee. Also appearing for the appellee, James K. Mee and Sarah M. Simmons. Argument on the merits.
All right, good morning to our attorneys this morning. Are you all ready to proceed? All right, Mr. Murakami, my understanding is you reserve 15 minutes for rebuttal, so we'll give you a warning light with 15 minutes into your argument. Then you'll be followed by Mr. Kudo for 20 minutes, Mr. Yee for 10, and then back to you for 15, Mr. Murakami. Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honors, may it please the Court, my name is Alan Murakami, and I represent Lanaians for Sensible Growth and this appeal. The issue in this appeal boils down to a basic proposition, and that is that brackish water, absent any other contaminants, is suitable for drinking, in the words of this court in 2004 in the prior appeal. It is a definition to which this court turned and still continues to control the outcome in this proceeding today. There's nothing in the record here that demonstrates that wells 1 and 9, the principal wells at issue, in fact yield potable water. The only thing it does yield is so-called, and I always use the term so-called because brackish is not defined, it yields brackish water. There have been various definitions for brackish offered throughout the proceedings at various levels of chlorides, but one thing is very clear. Chlorides levels do not constitute an enforceable standard by which either the DOH or the EPA can deem high chloride or water with chlorides non-potable. Brackish water is suitable for drinking, absent any other contaminants.
Doesn't the record indicate that, in fact, or at least county water departments at a certain level will not use or not use brackish water for drinking purposes? I think it's 160 parts per million, at least with some of the testimony. And the testimony here suggested these wells were 250 or higher. What's your response to that, Mr. Murakami?
Well, this very commission found, Your Honor, on the basis of that record, that despite what may appear to be such statements, which I would question, in findings 88 and 89, they find that, in fact, brackish water is being used in the very water this county drinks, the water before you. All water has some amount of chloride. There's no defined limit legally to make it non-drinkable.
But what about the fact, what the Chief Justice said, the facts before the commission were that the chloride levels are 250. And is there any testimony saying that at a 250 that any water management system considers that drinkable water?
Absolutely, Your Honor. In fact, this commission agreed with that testimony when it found currently potable wells on Oahu are producing over 250 parts per million chlorides. And then 89 says Maui wells in service in the past have probably produced water with over 250 parts per million chloride.
So are you saying that that's testimony that they use that water without adding anything or subtracting anything as a drinkable water?
Well, the counties may have their own policies of what they do with that water, but the record is clear that such water is not excluded from the drinking water supply, and in fact, under any EPA or DOH standards that apply, is not deemed to be non-potable. It is drinkable water.
So it could be mixed, correct?
Oh, absolutely, Your Honor. And that may be a matter of whether they want to change the aesthetic quality of it. The EPA's secondary standards does provide for certain standards that affect the aesthetic quality of water, and the counties have seen fit at some point to blend that water where they feel that they can then use that water with broader public acceptance. But there's no legal restriction against that use.
It wasn't clear to me when the last time the water from wells 1 and 9 were actually checked or tested for chloride levels.
Well, Your Honor, thank you for asking that question, because that bothered my clients for years. And it wasn't until 2009, well after the 1996 proceeding, that Mr. Jamil, employed by the company, actually tested that water and found no contaminants.
I understand the no contaminants, but what was the results in terms of the chloride levels?
Well, chloride levels have been regulated throughout. There's no doubt that the water there is in excess of 250 parts per million.
So that's being conceded?
Yes.
Even though well number one, it appears, had dropped from 700 down to 320, at least as of 2000s, as late as 2006.
Yes, so that's another part of our argument, but I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a critical factor that the Water Commission itself advised this commission, Land Use Commission, indicated that over, at least in well one, over half the water pumped from well one in that period was potable water, that below 250 parts per million, because as you pointed out, the chloride content had dropped by more than half.
So we do know that but you're conceding that the chloride level now is greater than 250, although in terms of well number one, it had dropped from 700 down to 320 as of 2006?
Yes, it still maintains a apparently level from all records that we've seen above 250 parts per million.
Okay.
Didn't the commission find that water with chloride concentrations above 250 is considered that can be utilized?
I mean, yes. As I pointed out, findings of fact 88 and 89 explicitly say that. There's widespread recognition that such water is not thrown away or excluded from the drinking water supply. It is used.
Mr. Murakami, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but while you're on that point, finding of fact 26 makes some reference to the way that potability is defined. I wanted to ask your view of this finding that says the potability of any water source does not depend on any particular level of chloride concentration. So given the fact that chloride concentration isn't the determinative factor, why do you take the position that in this case the water is potable? What other factors should be considered?
I'm not sure if I find that particular finding, but with respect to the substance of...
This is in the 1996 order.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. In the that is very clear that the chlorides are secondary standard for potability. In other words, the primary standards are used to enforce standards that may or may not be exceeded. And the EPA and the OH can come down and shut down a well if in excess of those contaminants. Chloride, not being one of them, is a secondary standard that it only applies to the aesthetic quality of water. And
in addition to the chloride concentration, are there other factors considered, such as contaminants? And in this case, was there a determination as to whether there are contaminants in wells 1 and 9?
Yes, there has been.
And what was that determination?
Mr. Jamil, who was employed by the company in 2009, tested the water, and evidence was submitted to this commission, which it found in finding, I believe it was... 96 and 97, that these contaminant levels set by the EPA and the DOH were not exceeded. So in essence, that water is potable.
So given the fact that there's a determination that there aren't contaminants and that the chloride level in this case is not determinative, what's your view as to the basis that the Land Use Commission found that the water is not potable? Is it the reference to brackish water that's used as an example? Is that it?
First part of your question, we find no sound reasoning. Second part of your question, yes, that appears to be their handle, that they want to hang their case on the parenthetical example of what is a form of alternative, non-potable sources of water. As you can see from the language proposed by the other side. That is one of the examples that they use. However, if one attempts to read brackish to mean all brackish water, and brackish water can be potable, and brackish water can be non-potable, but not determined by chlorides, determined by other constituents that are deemed contaminants by the EPA and DOH. If you allow then brackish to assume the position of being non-potable water, then that example subsumes everything else in the condition, and you basically have a nullity of this condition.
Well, it would be absurd. With respect to that analysis, if one assumes that by virtue of being brackish, wells 1 and 9 become available for irrigation, then what, if any, water in wells 1 and 9 is reserved for purposes other than irrigation?
Well, in practice, Your Honor, as I understand it, all the water from wells 1 and 9 that has been deemed brackish is being used on the golf course.
Well, what's the purpose of Condition 10?
Well,
I mean, is Condition 10 still in effect?
Condition 10 is still in effect.
Okay. If it's still in effect, what's its purpose?
Its purpose, that I can glean from the 1991 hearings and through other testimony of the county, which joined in attempting to restrict the use of potable water, was to preserve the very limited drinking water supply of the island of Lanai, which at best, and there's some contest over whether this number is accurate,
well,
is 6 million MGD.
It appears that at this point the Land Use Commission doesn't feel that there's any need to protect the water in wells 1 and 9 because it's brackish. So what significance does it have any longer with respect to the public trust? You've got brackish water that apparently is by definition not potable, and so why would there be any public trust concern with this non-potable water all being used for irrigation?
With all due respect to the public trust doctrine, in 1991, the public trust doctrine informed this commission to take the precautionary step to preserve future options for the use of potable water on this water-limited island. And it embodied that philosophy and that precaution in Condition 10. By attempting to restrict the use of potable water.
Yes, but once the water is found to be non-potable because it's brackish, doesn't that mean that the public trust is essentially addressed?
Okay, so now I have to go back to my first statement, which is that brackish water, absent any other contaminants, is drinkable water. It's potable, and therefore would be a standard by which it would be in violation to use that water.
Let me just ask, how long does this condition last? I mean, it's from 1991, it's already been in effect 27 years. What's the life of this condition?
There is no termination date, Your Honor.
So they have access to this water indefinitely. So yeah. That means regardless of how far science advances, and it has advanced, mm-hmm. and how much we might go through climate change and water needs grow and how sophisticated filters get, or charcoal filters, or the inverse osmosis, or whatever it is, you mean as long as there's a characterization that this is brackish, it cannot be utilized even if it's potable? Is that? How could that coincide with the public trust to allow water to be taken in indefinitely? I don't get it.
Well, I agree with you, Your Honor. If the water...
It's not an agreement. I don't understand how there can be such a condition that could allow indefinite use of water that could be greatly needed or could become potable and is potable.
I think we may have a difference in the interpretation of this condition. Our interpretation of this condition is that it does not allow for the use of this brackish water so long as it's potable. Now, it may become non-potable if there's some discovery that contaminants have been inserted into that supply, and then they would become usable. But there's been no evidence, and in fact, contrary evidence, that this brackish water supply is non-potable.
But is it brackish? I mean, when something is brackish, it's defined as a particular level of salt, right?
Correct.
In the water. So, I mean, it's, what is it, like 5 milligrams or something like that, or... 5 grams per
Well, the...
I mean, it's apparently the lowest levels is close to the same as Gatorade, right?
Well, that's the problem we have, Your Honor. Brackish is not defined. And there are policies that have set 160 parts per million, 250 parts per million, that have been used by different counties to assess whether the aesthetic quality of water should be addressed. And in those situations, they typically blend the water to make it part of the potable water supply. What we are trying to stress today, Your Honor, is that this potable water source, it just happens to be brackish, but the feature of it being brackish cannot subsume the overall condition that only non-potable water shall be used on this golf course. That's the protection embodied under the public trust doctrine that was applied in 1991 by this Land Use Commission in an attempt to protect this limited drinking water supply.
Mr. Murakami, if you could, with regard to the public trust doctrine, do you believe the Commission fulfilled its obligations under that doctrine in the Kauai Springs case in this most recent decision? And if you could address, I know there was some discussion in the Land Use Commission where I believe the appellants had asked for some of the findings to be deleted on the grounds that there wasn't a public trust issue. So yes. Can you help us understand that?
We took the position below, Your Honor, that we did not need to resort to the public trust doctrine because it had already been applied in 1991, and that was not the function of the OSC proceeding to determine whether there was a violation of the language of Condition 10. There is pretty clear language in Condition 10 that indicated, given the background of this case and the context in which the phrase alternative non-potable sources of water was derived, that it specifically indicates that the reference to brackish was the brackish water outside of the high-level aquifer. And we've cited numerous instances of that in our briefing, and I can cite more if this court desires. But that is the reading and context of that particular decision. But it was not necessary. And in fact, I believe the company agrees with us that the attempt in Minute Order 4 to try to examine the intent of the 1991 LUC in imposing Condition 10 was irrelevant. And so the whole proceeding was, they argued, and in a sense we agreed, that the ICA opinion in 2016 that resulted in this remand disagreed that there should be an examination of the intent in 1991 and pointed to only clarifications that needed to be done for the 1996 OSC order. This is all language that's contained in the statement that the company made in reaction to Minute Order 4, urging that no intention be derived.
Further of the CJ's question, are you taking, actually just reiterating what he said, are you taking a contra position now?
No, we're not.
On appeal?
Regarding
the application of the public trust doctrine?
No, we're not. We've always taken a position, and we did back in before the LUC, that although we believe as a principal matter that the public trust doctrine need not be resorted to, it does by law and by the language of this court always define the outer boundaries of the application of decisions that apply to public trust resources. And even though there was an amendment in Minute Order 6 to delete the examination of intention and the attempts by the parties to try to restrict the analysis just to the wording of the condition and the evidence before it, this commission invoked the public trust doctrine. It is replete with throughout its decision. So it was incumbent upon us to address that because we did not feel that the heightened scrutiny that was required for this particular decision was applied in this instance.
Very well. Did you want to reserve your time for rebuttal?
I will reserve my time.
Okay, thank you.
Unless the court has other questions.
Well, I wanted to just get your reaction quickly to the notion that I think the LUC's most recent position is that the 1991 decision of the LUC with respect to brackish water was one in which in 1991 the LUC didn't realize that it was brackish non-potable water in wells 1 and 9. Do you have some basis to contend that the LUC understood that there was brackish potable water in wells 1 and 9 when it made its decision in 1991?
Well, this court attempted to address that very issue, Justice Wilson. And I refer to page 392, which has a critical passage in there that may shed light on this subject. Contrary to LCI's, which was the prior predecessor in interest, assertions that the findings of the 1996 order also failed to establish that potable water is not being used. Although finding 15, which suggested and acknowledged the presence of brackish water, states that irrigation is primarily being supplied from brackish wells, this would not preclude the possibility that some potable water is also being used. And then they go on to talk about finding 16 and how there is leakage, potential leakage into the aquifer from higher level wells. But it says here, critically, while such findings seem to imply that LCI was using potable water, the LUC did not include any express findings in this regard in its 1996 order. So what this court was targeting in that analysis where the issue of brackish water came up was, okay, we see that there is evidence of brackish water, but the LUC did not address the issue of potability. And we are sending this back on remand with instructions to determine clearly, because you had not done so before, that they're using potable water. They're suggesting here that there is equivocal language, and they need, and the justices in that year demanded, Justice Acoba wrote that this was the critical remand instruction to clarify that point. And that's all we were tasked to do, rather than to engage into some twisted analysis of some special meaning that falls outside of the express condition language of this condition. As the court said back then, you cannot construe something that was not expressly stated by the LUC.
And the definition of brackish, I think the position that's being taken at this time by the resort is that the definition of brackish is synonymous with non-potable.
Exactly.
And if that's the case, and I'll be asking this of the resort as well, but, you know, finding of fact 73 in the 1990 order.
The 1991 order?
1991 order. Actually seems to distinguish between brackish water that is for drinking and brackish water that's not for drinking, which would suggest a definition different than that brackish water means non-potable water. And the finding says that water that is too brackish for drinking, and uses the term too brackish for drinking, which would seem to suggest that the Land Use Commission in 1990 and its 1991 order was recognizing that there is brackish water that could be for drinking.
Yes, Your Honor. And in fact, the 2017 LUC says specifically in its own finding of fact 98 that it's reasonable to say that brackish water is potable. It says right here, it is reasonable to conclude that the water from wells 1 and 9 may be considered to be potable. That's the Land Use Commission's own finding. Then it goes on to try to attach some, depart from the more common sense meaning of this term, which is not allowed, as this court found repeatedly in 2004, frankly, against my own interest.
Once a determination that brackish means non-potable is made, then that makes all the water available for irrigation in wells 1 and 9. Is that correct?
If it's deemed non-potable, yes. But so far, no evidence of that. In fact, contrary evidence given Mr. Jamil's test results.
Very well. Thank you very much, Mr. Murakami. We'll hear from Mr. Kudo at this time.
Thank you.
may want to pull the mic closer there. Thank you.
Okay. Does this work? Sorry. May it please the court, good morning, Chief Justice and members of the Hawaii Supreme Court. Benjamin Kudo on behalf of the appellee, Lanai Resorts LLC, also known as Pulama Lanai. The central consideration before this court is whether in 2017 the State Land Use Commission erred in its decision to find and conclude that Lanai Resort, successor to the original petitioner Castle and Cook, did not violate Condition 10 of its 1991 decision and order. Condition 10 is stated to my left. Its language has never changed since its promulgation by the Commission in 1991, some 27 years ago.
Mr. Kudo, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what's the purpose of Condition 10?
The purpose of Condition 10 is to make efficient use of the water resources on the island of Lanai, preserving the potable water sources for drinking into the future. And the Commission decided in its wisdom to promulgate Condition 10 to allow for alternative sources of water, such as brackish water and reclaimed sewage effluent. Both types of water are being presently used to irrigate the Manelli Golf Course.
Does Condition 10 apply to Wells 1 and 9?
Condition 10 clearly applies to Wells 1 and 9, as if you look at the 1991 decision and order, particularly finding fact 46 and 89, they do refer to Wells 1 and 9. Now, Well 9 was not drilled until 1991 or so, which was after the decision, but Well 1 was drilled in 1948 and put into use in 1950 as a brackish water well for Dole Plantation.
So the Condition 10's purpose, in your view, is to protect the drinking water supplies of Lanai?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And now, would you say that Condition 10, it's Condition 10 is a condition that allows for all the water in Wells 1 and 9 to be used for irrigation?
For irrigation of the Manelli Golf Course. You will note, though, that Condition 10 has a second paragraph. During the proceedings in 1990, while the Land Use Commission was considering the reclassification petition of the land owner, the LSG had petitioned the Water Commission to designate the entire island as a groundwater management area under 174CHRS. The Commission, upon investigation and determination, decided to reject the petition because they did not feel that existing or future water use was in jeopardy. The second paragraph of Condition 10, and this addresses Justice Pollock's decision, a question with regard to the indefinite use of the water, says that we must comply with the conditions of the Commission on Water Resource Management. The Commission on Water Resource Management promulgated several conditions in their rejection of the petition that we must comply with, which says that if water levels get to a certain level, they can jump back in and redesignate the land as a water management area, thereby controlling or stopping the use of brackish water wells. So there is a control.
But that wasn't my question. My question was actually whether or not if it's characterized as brackish, and even though it's immensely usable as potable water, is there any impairment from the continued use to irrigate golf courses? In other words, water becomes in greater demand because of climate warming and those kind of things, and the water is needed, but because it's characterized as brackish, even though it becomes very easy to utilize as potable water, is there any restriction from your continued using it to water the golf course?
Well, the Commission on Water Resource Management has oversight over our use of water on the island. Every 28 days, we must submit reports which monitor not only pumpage, but temperature and chloride levels to the Commission on Water Resource Management. And this has been going on for 25 years, every 28 days. So the Water Commission monitors very closely the use of the water resources, both potable and non-potable, because we have two systems on the island of Lanai, every 28 days.
Well, let me ask you this. It seems that your advocating, and the Land Use Commission essentially ruled that we cannot apply this common sense meaning. I mean, they made a specific finding that it's reasonable to conclude that the water from wells 1 and 9 may be considered to be potable. However, as detailed below, the evidence and in the record and construction of Condition 10 indicates a meaning contrary to these more common sense meanings of the word potable and brackish. In other words, 28 years later, whatever it is, they're coming up with an interpretation, non-commonsensical, under their evaluation, and stating that they're going to give that meaning. And that seems to be directly opposite of what this court decided when we said, look, that an order cannot be construed to mean what the LUC may have intended but did not express. So we're giving a non-commonsensical meaning that wasn't expressed and certainly didn't give notice.
I think there are two levels in this case. We looked at the 2004 decision of this court and the remand order, and we attempted to follow it to the T because we didn't want this case to go on for another 27 years. In particular, the court instructed us to look at the interpretation of the words in Condition 10 within the context of this order and the proceedings in 1991. Now, if you take the words out of Condition 10, potable and non-potable, yes, you can make brackish water potable. You can even make salt water potable. And I will submit to you that you can make reclaimed sewage effluent potable if you mix it, if you subject it to chemical analysis or electrolysis.
But given your comprehensive analysis of what brackish water can be, is it your conclusion, Mr. Kudo, that there isn't any water in wells 1 and 9 that can be used for drinking water?
You can...
I mean, it... I'm sorry, go ahead.
As I said before, if you take the words potable and non-potable and terms brackish and sewage effluent out of the context of Condition 10, you can make any type of water potable if you have the means to do so.
Okay, well, I can understand that in a theoretical point of view, but let's just talk about the water in wells 1 and 9. Can that be used for drinking water under the standards that apply, federal and state standards?
Right now, our position is that it cannot, because it has not only chloride levels, but it also has what is called total dissolved solids. Well 1 has a 700 parts per million total dissolved solids, and well 9 has about 900 parts per million total dissolved solids. EPA standard is 300. And this was brought out during the 1991 proceedings by testimony.
Did the LUC make a finding that that wells 1 and 9 have no potable water under the standard common definition of potable? There's no finding like that.
I don't believe there was a finding specifically with regard to that. But again, I think our charge...
Isn't that the remand instruction?
Our understanding of this court's remand was to put the words of Condition 10 into the context of the 1991 proceedings and the 1991 decision and order.
But in that context, I'm sorry, go ahead, Justice Pollack.
You remand the case to the court with instructions that the court, for further hearings if necessary, on the issue of whether LCI used potable water from the high-level aquifer in violation of Condition 10. I mean, that's what was supposed to be determined, whether or not potable water was being utilized from those two wells. And still not there after all these years.
I think if you examine the record, it is clear that wells 1 and 9 were both intended to be used for irrigation, and they were considered in 1991 as both potable and non-potable. This court paid attention to map number 1, petitioner's exhibit 37 in 1991, which was attached to John Mink's 1983 water study. That map clearly showed that well 1, a non-potable well, was in the high-level aquifer. Well 9 had not yet been drilled. Okay, but in 89 and 48, the findings of fact, they do refer to the petitioner's intent to use non-potable brackish water wells 1, 9, and 14 for the irrigation of the golf course.
But, Mr. Kudo, you have referred to finding of facts 88 in the June 1st, 2017 order, and it says that currently potable wells on Oahu are producing water over 250 parts per million chlorides. Okay, so it seems that we have a consensus that you can have potable water that's over 250 parts per million. But then in finding of fact 90, it says wells 1 and 9 are contaminant-free, and then finding of fact 96 refers to the former director of utilities of the Lanai Water Company, where he says that the water in wells 1 and 9 met state and federal standards for potability. So wouldn't that suggest that actually the water can be used for potable purposes?
Well,
in wells 1 and 9?
Yeah. I think you have to, again, step back and look at the situation that the intent behind Condition 10, and that's what we were looking at. What was the commission's intent and purpose in the use of the words potable, non-potable? And by the way, you know, the reference to testing it with contaminants is the reference to the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act, which doesn't have a definition of the word potable. It is about drinking water. It is not about potability.
Well, this seems to be a definition that's coming from the director of the utilities of Lanai Water Company, stating that the water met state and federal standards for potability. I mean, that would suggest, I guess, the water
statement.
This is finding of fact 96, referring to Cliff Jamil.
In the which order is that?
6117.
Oh, 17. Oh, yeah, that's Mr. Jamil. Okay, and Mr. Jamil made that statement in, I think, 2006, or I believe, to the Lanai Planning Commission.
He's the former director of the utilities of Lanai Water.
Right. And I think if you look at the transcript of the notes of the testimony that Mr. Jamil gave, he was talking about three pesticide chemicals, DCP, EDP, and DCBP. I think I got the acronyms correct. And these are chemicals that he specifically called out that were in the public knowledge at that time about contamination in the Mililani area, and they come from fumigants and pesticides associated with pineapple cultivation, which is what was going on Lanai. And I think the concern was that we were using wells 1 and 9 that were tested for these chemicals, because the concern by the Planning Commission at that time was that this water also contained those kinds of chemicals. So he tested the water for those chemicals and said that they were clean, because he makes a statement at the end that otherwise we would not throw this water on the ground, which is, he was referring to 1 and 9 being used for irrigation, because they were...
Yeah. I'm confused. Yeah. What's the difference between potable and drinkable?
Okay. This is the debate that we have. We cannot find a definition of potable in the Safe Drinking Water Act. The Department of Health, Joanne Seto, testified that the Safe Drinking Water Division does not use the word potable. They use the word drinkable, because the Safe Drinking Water Act uses drinkable.
But is it the same thing?
It can be the same thing, but I think it can also differ. Drinkability, the problem with drinkability is that it's a subjective term. Water that has a 250 chloride level can be distasteful to certain people, and that's why most counties don't use a standard of 250. They use 160, 180. They get too many complaints. So people can taste the salt. But there are people who don't taste the salt. So drinkability is very subjective to the individual tasting. It's just like sewage effluent R1 level water that's potable, drinkable. You can drink it, but it is, to some people, distasteful. They won't want to drink it. So drinkability has various elements that are just not definable in any given term. And we also point out that the commission never used the word drinkable in Condition 10. They used the word potable and non-potable,
well,
as used during the hearing by the parties.
Department of Health defines potable, right? The Department of Health defines it, potable water. Water free from impurities and amounts sufficient to cause disease.
Drinkable. I think it's drinkable is the right word.
No, I didn't say, well, I'm just reading from finding 80 that says, the DOH also defines the term potable water to mean water free from impurities and amounts sufficient to cause disease or harmful physiological effects.
Right.
JR 11-21.
That's a drinkable standard under the Safe Drinking Water Act that they're referring to. But again, we are looking at these definition of these terms outside of Condition 10, and then we are looking at it within the Condition 10. We were instructed by this court on the remand to look specifically into the context of the 1991 proceedings to determine their meaning. And as used by the parties, the terms potable and non-potable have a different meaning than the words used outside of the Condition 10.
Mr. Kudo, if yes. You could address the public trust doctrine, did the LUC comply with the obligations that this court set forth in Kauai Springs in our other cases?
Did
it have to? Was it required to, and if so, how?
Let me start off by saying that the order to show cause proceeding is not a proceeding that looks at the proposed use of water or the change in the use of water. That was done in 1991. The proposal was to use wells 1 and the future well 9 for irrigation purposes. And Condition 10 was promulgated as a part of their public trust duties. We are in an enforcement action, a compliance procedure, if you will, to determine whether we are complying with Condition 10 or not. We believe that the public trust obligations under the Kauai Springs case was not applicable in this situation. However, that being said, LSG raised the public trust in the original pre-hearing position statements that they filed with the hearings officer. So out of an abundance of caution, we put an entire case to satisfy the Kauai Springs requirements during the hearing so that we wouldn't be remanded because we forgot to deal with the public trust. We dealt with it out of an abundance of caution, and the commission did as well. There was some confusion because of LSG's statements throughout the proceeding, but we went forward and we put on a case to address each and every one Kauai Springs elements of the public trust.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but while you're answering the Chief Justice's question about the public trust, could I ask your view, Mr. Kudo, about the public trust doctrine as it would apply to wells 1 and 9 if they were containing drinking water? Do you think the public trust analysis would be different if that was drinking water as opposed to water that is non-potable?
I think in 1991, if the evidence showed that wells 1 and 9 were non-potable, were potable water sources, that Condition 10 would probably be something that was probably contrary to the public trust.
Could I then ask your help with finding of fact 73? Because I know your position is that in 1991, in the order when reference was made to brackish, that the reference was being made by a commission that equated brackish with non-potable, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So in finding of fact 73, though, in order, the order of 1991, the Land Use Commission finds as follows. Groundwater underlying the proposed golf course at Manelli is too brackish for drinking water, so that impact on the groundwater quality for drinking purposes is not a consideration in this instance. The reason I'm asking your help on this is because in this reference, it appears that the Land Use Commission recognizes that brackish water can be used for drinking because it's talking about water. In this instance, it's too brackish for drinking water. So wouldn't that imply that actually in 1990, the LUC knew that some brackish water could be used for drinking?
Okay. I think they were talking specifically probably about wells 1, at least, at that time. And well 1 has chloride levels between 300 to 400. parts per million rather than at 250, and well 9 later was at 500 to 600. So too brackish, I don't know what their intent was behind the word too brackish.
Well, you can see what I'm trying to understand is how is it that the conclusion can be reached that the Land Use Commission concluded that whenever you've got brackish water, you're talking about water that's not for drinking. How could we reach that conclusion when part of the order seems to suggest that the Land Use Commission actually recognizes that there's some water that would not be too brackish for drinking and therefore it'd be brackish water that would be available for drinking?
Well, I will submit that the golf course property is located away from the wells, and the water there is outside of the high-level aquifer. And the
oh, sure. I mean, this isn't referring to, I don't think, necessarily directly to wells 1 and 9. It's just a way of trying to understand whether this Land Use Commission was so uninformed about the definition of brackish that it assumed that all brackish water is non-potable. And if that's the case, if the Land Use Commission in 1990 assumed that all brackish water is non-potable, I don't understand what Condition 10 is about, because it would be interpreting Condition 10 as saying all water is available for irrigation if it's brackish, right? So it would sort of take away the meaning of Condition 10, which is to try to protect some water in wells 1 and 9. So I'm not quite clear how we can interpret the Condition 10 to mean that all brackish water is available and that the Land Use Commission knew that all the water in wells 1 and 9 was brackish, and so the Land Use Commission knew when it, in 1991, put the condition together, it was making all the water available for irrigation.
They did have the chloride levels of wells 1 at that time, because well 9 had not yet been drilled. And well 1, the original chloride level was 800 parts per million.
And what is it now?
It's dropped to about 325, 350, and that's over a 67-year period. Because
what would your position be if it had dropped to 250?
It would still be brackish.
What about 249?
Then you'd be getting into the non-brackish category, because the definition and the water use development plan and the Water Resource Protection Plan, both plans used by the Commission on Water Resource Management and part of the Hawaii State Water Plan, define brackish as 250.
What, is it tested regularly for chloride?
Yes, every 28 days.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we have the test, and this was Exhibit 43B that shows from 1945 to 2015 the chloride levels of the well over 67 years and the pumpage. And we also have other data that was also submitted. And this is the type of reports that are submitted every 28 days. In addition, we have real-time monitoring computer systems that monitor the wells on a real-time basis.
Well, the wells,
we're very careful about how we use the water on Lanai.
I appreciate that you're watching that resource so closely, Mr. Kudo. And if you could give me your view about whether there's any significance to the Maui County Water Use and Development draft plan that was submitted in October of 2009 that said that there are serious potential hydrological problems related to the ability of the island to recharge its high-level aquifer. I think we can agree that wells 1 and 9 are high-level aquifers. And B, water levels in the island's primary drinking water wells. Okay, the growing development demand that threatened to outstrip the island's sustainable yield and the greatly disproportionate monthly use of water per household by visiting or part-time Manelli residents in excess of 14 times compared to the same per household used by full-time residents in Lanai City. Would that be relevant to a determination about whether all the water in wells 1 and 9 should be used for irrigation?
Justice Wilson, as you well know, the more you know about the water resource over a period of time, the better you're able to predict its ability to pump water at particular levels, and also what the chloride levels might be and whether you're endangering other water levels. In 2009, that water use development plan was superseded by the water use development plan in 2011, which was adopted by the county and adopted by the State Water Commission, which changed its position based on the data that was coming out of those wells. They were in production, and they were monitoring it. In addition, the Commission on Water Resource Management had conducted monitoring of the close monitoring of our wells. There was another LSG attempt to submit the groundwater of Lanai to a water management area in the year, I believe it was 2003 or so. So they were very much aware of the water and monitoring us very closely.
Doesn't the Commission on Water Resource Management defer to state of, the State Department of Health to determine whether water is safe to drink?
For drinkability, they defer to the State Department of Health, but in terms of any pending or future threat to the water resources of the island, the Commission on Water Resources Management is responsible for that.
Right, but they're not the one who determines, and they don't pretend to take determination of what.
Right, they don't use potable in their proceedings or anything. They don't use the word potable.
Mr. Kudo, there was a testimony that you cannot damage HLAs because if you take too much water out, it'll always regenerate. Do you hold by that? I mean, isn't there a point at which if you take out too much water, it will permanently damage the aquifer?
Yeah, I don't believe we've ever made a statement that if you take out unlimited amounts of water from any source, that it would not cause irreparable harm. There is a sustainable yield on the island that is determined by the Commission on Water Resource Management, presently at 6 million gallons. During the plantation days, the water usage was about 4 to 5 million gallons, very close to the sustainable yield. Today, we're under 2 million gallons per day. So the water usage is not only efficient, we've done tons of repairs to eliminate unaccounted for water that is leaks. We use water-efficient meters, we use computerized systems, we monitor it every day on a real-time basis. And so the water usage on the island now has been has been very carefully monitored and is now about 1.8 to 2.2, depending on the day, for the entire island of 3,500 residents.
Mr. Kudo, you've gone past your time. Do you have anything to wrap up before we hear from Mr. Yee and then from Mr. Murakami again?
I'll defer my time to Mr. Yee.
Very well. Mr. Yee.
May it please the Court, Deputy Attorney General Brian Yee on behalf of the Office of Planning. The Office of Planning is a statutorily mandated party in all district boundary amendment proceedings, including the present one. We provide relatively impartial, neutral positions, our best analysis of the information, as well as providing information from state sources, which the LUC may find useful. Most often, actually, in cases, particularly where there are no interveners, we are the check upon the developers and their analysis and information. In this particular case, we agree with the Land Use Commission. Let me start, however, by noting that this court has already, in which really it seems to be revolving around definitions, and this court has already stated in its decision that we must read the language of an administrative order in the context of the entire order and construe it in a manner consistent with its purpose. Condition 10 utilized the terms potable and non-potable. It is evidence from their use that the terms encompassed separate and distinct meanings. Therefore, this court has already determined that the condition 10 needs to be interpreted in its whole. And part of the problem that we are seeing is the attempt to draw a single word from condition 10 and interpret it by itself.
Perhaps you can help me, Mr. Yee, then. This is one of the questions that I have. You know, there was that letter from Mr. Ahui to Mr. Leppert, and he indicated that Mr. Ahui was saying that Mr. Nance had testified for the Lanai Company that the chlorides in well 1 had dropped from about 700 ppm to between 320 to 350 ppm. And he said this fact alone implies that at least half of the water pumped from well 1 is potable water.
I think that was proceeding under the leakage theory. that some part of the water in the brackish wells came from the high-level aquifer because water flows, obviously, from the highest level down out to the ocean. And the idea was, I think, it passed through so that the various dikes were interconnected. That was, I think, the theory at the time.
At the time, but isn't that the level now?
You know, there is a conflict on this issue. The evidence brought forward by Lanai Resorts was that there is not a interconnection between wells.
I didn't mean interconnection. I'm just saying no matter what, isn't it 320 to three about 320 now?
Yes, the level is correct. But what we want to point out is when you look at the terms potable and non-potable in the context of Condition 10, where it specifically defines non-potable as brackish.
What other explanation other than leakage would there be for this testimony that this apparently evidence that at least half the water pumped from well one is now potable water?
It's a matter that was it deals with the definition of potable and non-potable in the context of Condition 10 or outside the context of Condition 10. So as the term is used in Condition 10, the water in wells 1 and 9 are brackish. And that by definition under Condition 10 and the understanding of the LDC at the time as referenced or as indicated by their various findings of fact meant that the waters in wells in 9 were non-potable.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but while you're on that point, help me then with this analysis of Condition 10 that I understand you to be taking. You have a condition that theoretically is meant to in some way protect the water resources, particularly the drinking water resources in the high-level aquifers, right?
It was to require that only non-potable source, that non-potable brackish sources be used.
But wasn't there a reason? I mean, this wasn't sort of an experiment that was being done in a vacuum. Wasn't there a reason for Condition 10?
Yes.
Isn't it actually to protect the water resource, the drinking water resource?
The testimony at
okay.
the time.
Okay. All right. Well, let's assume there's a beneficial purpose to Condition 10 that has something to do with drinking water. Would you grant that?
The testimony at the time, I think, was that
you can recite the record, and that would be helpful. But first, I'm interested in your position. Is the county able to say whether Condition 10 was meant to have a beneficial use that was at least in part meant to protect drinking water?
Yes.
Okay.
The LUC, I believe, yes.
All right. If that's the case, then let's look at Condition 10. Your analysis is that the condition means that all brackish water is non-potable and therefore is available for irrigation, correct?
If it meets the definition of brackish, yes.
Okay, so here the condition says the resort shall not utilize the potable water from the high-level groundwater aquifer for golf course irrigation use, but then according to you, it assigns the definition of brackish to all the high-level groundwater in wells 1 and 9, and by virtue of assigning the definition of brackish, it makes it all available, because then it becomes non-potable. So, right?
No. If the water is considered to be brackish by the Land Use Commission, and admittedly there have been some discussions about how do you define brackish, and I agree that that is an issue that was not anticipated at the time.
Okay, if but it's deemed brackish, then it's non-potable.
Yes.
Well, in that case, wouldn't you agree that right now your position is all the water in wells 1 and 9 are non-potable?
Yes.
So then,
as the term is used in Condition 10.
So
therefore,
regardless if it's drinkable, regardless if it's potable, your position is that it's all for your irrigation or all for golf course.
Our position is that the term potable, as used in Condition 10, had a distinct meaning.
And that meaning, incidentally, is, as the Land Use Commission said, is not consistent with common sense.
I'm going to take issue with that because I believe the sentence you're referring to in the findings of facts in the 2017 decision said separate from the findings of fact and separate from the context, there is a common sense meaning. And so if you take, so what they were saying is if you take the word potable out of context, sure, there's another meaning to the word potable.
Wow, that's not what, it says, thus, while there is substantial evidence on the record that a common sense meaning of the word potable could include it, the specific language is comes from something else. So their conclusion is that we're not going to apply the common sense definitions. What everyone else assumes potable means, we're going to apply something else and we're going to take it from these other things not off the face of the document, in a sense, which the Supreme Court said, we're not going to do that. Words of the order have to give notice. And we're coming along 25 years later, and even after the Kauai, resort went in for a change. They even were uncomfortable with the language.
I think if you, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe the finding of fact you're referring to starts with separate from, meaning that if you took, what they mean is if you take it out of context, yes, there is a common sense meaning. But if you put it back into context, it has a different meaning. And so then, when, as we have laid out in our brief, if you look at the findings of fact, the purpose of Condition 10 was to comply with their, with the resort's representations that they would use wells 1 and 9 to irrigate the golf course. Now, they didn't specifically say wells 1 and 9 because that's...
The purpose of Condition 10 was to establish that the resort would use wells 1 and 9 for irrigation. That was its purpose?
Yes, because the parties wanted to, the Office of Planning wanted to know, what were you going to use to irrigate the golf course? And they said, we are going to use brackish water. We have enough water in wells 1 and 9. That was actually the gist of much of the testimony, was the capacity of the wells. They wanted to be assured that there was enough brackish water to use to irrigate. So they placed in Condition 10A requirement that the resort must use brackish water to irrigate the golf course consistent with their representations. And that's what the Office of Planning had asked for. This was a stipulated decision, a stipulated condition between the Office of Planning and the resort. And LSG had recommended a different language, which would have been clearly stating that all water from the high-level aquifer shall be prohibited from being used. And the LUC rejected it because it was too restrictive.
But I thought the sort of point of the previous decision of this court assumed that Condition 10 isn't just a condition that makes it clear that wells 1 and 9 will be used for irrigation purposes. I thought the analysis in that decision indicated that there actually has to be a determination about whether some of the water in wells 1 and 9 is potable. So there, the intent in Condition 10, I think as interpreted by the court earlier, was partly to protect the resource and see whether potable water is being used. It wasn't just to make the wells available for irrigation.
The use of brackish water is a way to sustain the aquifer. So most of you may not know, but golf courses use a lot of water. And so if you can use brackish water, it helps to sustain the aquifer.
No, I can see. I mean, from a scientific point of view, there's a logic to just spreading the water from wells 1 and 9 on the golf course, because it can create recharge. I'll grant you that, but I'm not sure that that's what the remand purpose was for. It wasn't to determine the best way to use wells 1 and 9 to spread the contents on the golf course. It also seemed to have something to do with determining whether or not some of the water in the wells was potable.
And I only go back to that because in order to figure out what Condition 10 required, one looked at the purpose of Condition 10. And so when looked at the findings of fact, what was said, what was the statements made at the hearing, and based upon that, the LUC...
Putting aside the assumptions at the 1991 hearing, I'm sorry I keep belaboring this point, but the drop in well 1 to 320 ppm, what source, and the reference to it being at least half potable water, what source other than potable water from the high-level aquifer could there be for that level to have come down so much?
And I guess what we're saying is, even if there is leakage, and there's a dispute of fact about that, but even if there was leakage,
is there any other source in the record? Could rainwater that just kind of drops into that area?
there's a much bigger theory about where the source of wells 1 and 9 come from. Is it ancient water? Is it, you know, where's the salt coming from? Is it, you know, from the rise and fall of the geology of the islands? No one knows for sure.
Where does fresh water come from?
Where does?
The ancient water that's seeping up from below?
Yeah, I don't think I understand this very well, but apparently, no, it doesn't seep from below. There was this thought that perhaps when the island formed and rises and falls, that water came in and somehow it got trapped there, and then salt got in, and then the salt was trapped there, and then somehow it's up.
But why does the PPM go down? Other than what source could there be other than the HLA water? I'm just wondering.
It is HLA water. There's
clearly there's potable water from the HLA water coming into well one, which brings down the PPM.
What we don't know is whether or not the water in the dikes is interdependent or not. So if they're interdependent, it's simply a separate source.
But the commission didn't make a finding on that specific
they did
issue.
Not.
So why is that not a concern?
Because as used in condition 10, the use of waters from wells 1 and 9, even if there is interconnection, was considered to be the use of non-potable water. That's what they meant in 19.
When does it become potable then?
It becomes potable depending on the brackishness of the water, as indicated by the finding of fact cited by Justice Wilson. In this case, 250 is parts per million is what the Office of Planning would argue is the definition of brackish, but we will concede it is not defined specifically in the 19.
Oahu uses water that's over 300?
That may be, I don't know.
Anything further, Mr. Yee, to wrap up at this point?
Thank you. I will just wrap up. The Land Use Commission issues its decisions once. It is a static decision. The access to water is not granted by the Land Use Commission. It is granted by the Commission of Water Resource Management. The Land Use Commission does not. It only allows people to use land for urban purposes. Whether or not someone, and then places restriction on the use of land, such as restricting the use of water. Whether they actually get access to the water is a separate process that has to be decided by other agencies. In this particular case, we've been at this for over 25 years, and we simply believe that it's time now for the parties to get a resolution of this matter and then move on to the many other issues before them that face Lanai. Thank you. We ask for your affirmance.
Very well. Thank you. Mr. Morikami, your rebuttal.
It's difficult for me to figure out where to start. There are such obvious things in this record that the other parties appear to be contesting at this point that completely baffle me, some of which have been pointed out by the justices, and I'm not going to repeat them. But the essence of this case, as I started this argument with, and I am prepared to end it with, is that brackish water, absent any contaminants, defined contaminants by the DOH or EPA, is drinkable. This court, in footnote 8 of the 2004 decision, pointed to the Webster's Dictionary as to what potable water is. It's drinkable, suitable for drinking. That's the plain language that governs this case. And yet we find this twisted interpretation that seems to be perpetuated in this argument as well, about the nature of the context of the 1991 decision.
Well, Mr. Murakami, what about the plain language of Condition 10? It seems to be defining non-potable sources of water as brackish water and reclaimed sewage effluent.
Okay. I've got a little bit of a complex answer to that, but there is clearly an answer. The language itself, as you see, it says alternative non-potable sources, and in the parenthetical includes brackish and effluent.
And reclaimed sewage effluent.
Yes. Okay, for those two components. That's an example of what's alternative non-potable water. Okay? It doesn't, these parties are trying to flip that. They're trying to say all brackish water is potable water, when despite it not coming from alternative sources. The record is replete, and I would have to belabor the record to find every site, but it's in my briefing, that both the head of the company, Leopard at the time, and the water engineer, Kumagai, at the time in Mink, specifically laid out what their plans were for developing water on this island in 1990. This is the pre-1991 decision, the basis on which Condition 10 was drafted. And they specified that the high-level aquifer was mutually exclusive from alternative sources of water, which would be outside of the high-level aquifer in what they call the basal lens, which is very thin on Lanai. And the description, if you look at the water development plan, is very clear on this point. It talks about how they're going to proceed to develop water for the golf course. And there's a very telling discussion about this, because they point out how they were going to start off with what at that time was going to be wells B1 and B2, which I think became wells 12 and 13, outside of the high-level aquifer's reach. And that they would start there with well, I think the language was that they would start there with well 10, which is also outside the reach of the high-level aquifer, as defined by the very map that's attached to that water resources development plan.
Mr. Murakami, you're not going to claim that reclaimed sewage effluent is potable, are you?
Absolutely not. That is non-potable. That's just an example of non-potable alternative source water, as is brackish that they were talking about.
Are you saying that in 1991 they didn't know that wells, at least well 10, was potentially connected to the high-level aquifer?
Well 10?
Are you saying that they didn't understand that these sources might be interconnected?
No, I'm not saying that, Your Honor, okay. Not at all. But I'm not sure that's central to the point of how they classify the sources of water. Now, this is in the words of their experts and their management head. They were going to stay outside of the high-level aquifer and develop water sources starting with well 10 and other wells, B1 and B2 at the time, outside of the reach of the high-level aquifer. In the words of Kumagai, outside of the influence of the high-level aquifer, which I'm not exactly sure is completely true, but the point was we're going to stay outside to start developing these sources. So when that condition was worded and the example of brackish water was used, the water, the condition is, in the context of the drafting of the condition, they were referring to the testimony of these experts that the brackish water was going to come from outside the high-level aquifer.
Is that when they were still talking about the desalinization plant?
Yes, that was the same time. And in fact, they proposed that as another alternative source that they could be turned to. And that's another part of my argument, but I don't think it's central to this oral argument today. And I'll refer to my brief about my argument concerning that. But to Justice Nakayama's point, the interpretation being urged today is different from what I just laid out. What they're interpreting today is that all brackish water, and I'm astounded that the Office of Planning, which is supposed to represent the interests of the public in this matter, is saying that all the water in wells 1 and 9 is brackish and therefore non-potable. And that's what was intended, and that's what we're going to urge this court to find. When this court...
That's a pretty big change. I mean, this is supposed to be a violation hearing, and we remanded so that there's a determination of what's potable and what's not. And what we, instead of doing that, the LUC redefined it.
I can't agree with you more completely.
I mean, all of a sudden, they modified this to be brackish water.
Yes.
It's common, and we're assuming the LUC at that time and all this time would have no knowledge that brackish water was potable, depending on what it was.
Well, apparently it depends on the time or the composition of the Land Use Commission, Your Honor, to be frank. In 1996, they saw it very clearly that brackish water is not necessarily non-potable. And as I stated at the beginning...
And they made a specific finding as to that in
yes. 96. Yes. The 1996 order is very complete in terms of its rationale as to what is non-potable water. What was the defect was for them to find, yes, this is the use of potable water despite all the evidence that they cited.
Finding
that's what this court said.
It says the potability of any water source does not depend on any particular level of chloride concentrations. We have a complete flip from then to the 2017.
That's the exact point of my briefing, Your Honor, and that's why we called for an estoppel against the land use commission.
Wait a minute. Aren't there other conditions other than the chloride levels that impact portability?
That's our point, Your Honor.
So, that,
in fact, I'd have to disagree with you slightly. Chlorides, technically and legally, have nothing to do with potability. Okay? You can have high chloride water that is drinkable, and neither the law nor the practice of the different boards of water supply defy that statement, because they do, as I said, use brackish water in the drinking water that we today have before us.
How do you respond to Mr. Kudo's arguments regarding the percentage of solids in the water in from wells 1 and 9?
Well, frankly, I'm surprised. I don't see that in the findings. He admits it's not in the findings. And finding 98 contradicts that and says that it's reasonable to say that wells 1 and 9 has potable water.
Could you respond to Mr. Kudo's argument that what the commission was told by this court to do on remand was to look at the context for these, for condition 10, and go back and look at the entire record, and based on its review of that record, and obviously there are things conflicting or indicating people had different ideas or different understandings of what these terms meant, but looking at that record as a whole, this is the conclusion they came to. Well, is that, would you agree with that characterization, or is that not a fair characterization of what happened? And if it is what happened, what's incorrect about that conclusion?
Well, it's hard for me to give you a yes or no answer to that, Your Honor, to be honest, because I agreed, well, resorting to the rules of statutory construction, you start off with the wording. And if it's very clear, you don't use anything else. But if there's some ambiguity, then you look to the context and the wording of the language. And in this context, that's why I've been arguing brackish water cannot completely subsume all potable water simply because it's brackish and thereby be available for irrigation. That would be completely contrary to the context of this condition number 10. What I think I would disagree with is that we shouldn't be looking back to the record to ascertain or discern a meaning in the heads of the 1991 land use commissioners that they appear to be urging today, even though they urged something completely contrary when they contested the language of Minute Order 4, which attempted to go into that exercise of ascertaining the meaning of the commissioners.
But our 2004 remand order did say, if appropriate, to conduct hearings.
That's one thing, Your Honor, to conduct hearings, if, in fact, there needs to be further clarification as to whether or not potable water is being used, you know, that we had to live with. LSG never felt that we needed to do that because there was plenty of evidence in the record that showed that the water was potable. The brackish water in wells 1 and 9 is potable. Besides, by the way, this is the one point I want to leave you with, is that the company here had the burden of proof. They had to prove that they were, in fact, not using potable water, that it wasn't, basically it was non-potable, that they were irrigating the golf course with. They did not achieve that standard at that time, and in fact, didn't even test the water before 1996. I only tested it 13 years later, and the clear finding of the Land Use Commission is that test results in a finding of a potable water source in wells 1 and 9. So we're left with the unmistakable conclusion, and I think that this court should, on the basis of the undisputed facts, and you do have the power in that situation, to make a legal determination, a right and wrong standard, to say that potable water is being used on the golf course, because now we have that test. And now we have the practice of the boards of water supply and everything else that's on the record.
Isn't that a finding of fact?
It's a finding of fact, but it's undisputed, Your Honor. And it's in the findings of fact of the Land Use Commission, which none of us dispute and cannot dispute, really, because it's backed up by the evidence. And so I think that this court is empowered to make that finding directly. And if not alternative, then we ask that there be an instruction to go back and make that finding on the basis of this record, on the basis of the evidence that we've cited to you, that would mandate that the Land Use Commission find that potable water is being used, and to thereby take appropriate steps to address this 26-year history of illegal use of water under Condition 10. And I think it's, I agree with Mr. Yee, it's time to resolve this and stop it. My clients have been laboring over this issue for the past quarter century, which I find completely amazing, but that is the truth. We have a land use commission that has flip-flopped. Frankly, we've had the county of Maui that has flip-flopped. They, in the beginning, agreed with us, and then changed positions. We had a partial support from the Office of Planning, and now I hear a completely opposite position to what they started off with. The record is clear that Mr. Yee's predecessor, Mr. Rick Icor, was quite reaching quite an opposite conclusion back in 1996 when he supported the position of LSG, as the pleadings will reflect. So I urge this court to take affirmative and conclusive action on this issue today, or, well, not today, but in this proceeding, and find, in fact, that potable water is being used on the golf course in violation of Condition 10.
Very well. Thank you to all of our attorneys here today. The court will take this matter under advisement.